Okay. Namaha.
Namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Again, I offer my respectful obeisances. Tate.
Unto you.
Akila Karanaya.
Unto the supreme cause of everything.
Nishkaranaya.
Unto you who are causeless.
Adbhuta Karanaya.
The wonderful cause of everything.
Sarva.
All. Agama Amdaya. Unto the source of the Parampara system. Of all Vedic knowledge. Maha Arnavaya.
The great ocean of knowledge.
Or the great ocean.
Wherein all the rivers.
Of knowledge merge.
Namaha.
I offer my obeisances.
Apavargaya.
Unto you who can give deliverance.
Or liberation.
Paraayanaya.
The shelter of all transcendentalists.
Translation. My Lord, you are the cause of all causes, but you yourself have no cause. Therefore, you are the wonderful cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the shelter of the Vedic knowledge contained in the Shastras, like the Pancharatras and Vedantara Sutra, which are your representations, and who are the source of the Parampara system. Because it is you who can give liberation, you are the only shelter for all transcendentalists. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You can repeat. My Lord, you are the cause of all causes. But you yourself have no cause.
Therefore,
you are the wonderful cause of everything.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Who are the shelter of the Vedic knowledge,
contains in the Shastras,
like the Pancharatras and Vedanta Sutra,
which are your representations,
and who are the source
of the Parampara system.
Because it is you who can give liberation,
you are the only shelter.
All transcendentalists.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described herein as the wonderful cause.
He is wonderful in the sense that although there may be unlimited emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janma Yasya Yivaha, he always remains complete. Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vasishyate. In our experience of the material in the material world, if we have a bank balance of $1 million, as we withdraw money from the bank, the balance gradually diminishes until it becomes nil. However, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of God, is so complete that although innumerable personalities of Godhead expand from Him, He remains the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purnasya, Purnam, Adaya, Purnam, Eva Vasishyate. Therefore, He is the wonderful cause of Govindam, Adi, Purusham, Tamaham, Vajami. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadhiratir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all
He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Brahmasamhita, 5th chapter, text 1. Even in this material world, we can understand that the sun has existed for millions of years and has given off heat and light since its creation. Yet the sun still retains its power and never changes. What then is to be said of the supreme cause, Param Brahma, Krishna? Everything emanates from him personally, perpetually, yet he maintains his original form, Satchidananda Vigraha. Krishna personally says in Bhagavad Gita, Matat Sarvam Pravartate, in the 10th chapter, text 8, everything emanates from me. Everything emanates from Krishna eternally, yet he is the same Krishna and does not change. Therefore, he is the shelter of all transcendentalists who are eager to get free from material bondage. Everyone must take shelter of Krishna. It is therefore advised, akama sarva kamo va moksha kama dharadhi vrena mokti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. It's from the Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 3rd Chapter, Text 10. Param Brahma, the Supreme Lord, and Param Dhamma, the Supreme Repose, is Krishna. Therefore, anyone who desires anything, whether he be a karmi, a jnani, or a yogi, should try to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead very seriously, and all of his desires will be fulfilled. Wow. The Lord says, Ye kamam prabhajante tams tathaiva vajam yahom. As the living entities surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Even the karmi who wants everything for his enjoyment can get it from Krishna. For Krishna supplying what he wants is not at all difficult. Actually, however, one should worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the sake of getting liberation. Vedaishcha sarar ahameva vedaha. By studying the Vedic literature, one should understand Krishna. As confirmed here, sarva gamanaya maharana vaya. He is the ocean, and all Vedic knowledge flows toward him. Therefore, intelligent transcendentalists take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sarvadharman pratityaja, mam ekam sharanam raja. This is the ultimate goal. Namo namaste kila karanaya nishkaranaya jyabhuta karanaya sarvagamanaya maharnavaya namo pavargaya parayanaya So omaganat imdendasya gananjana shlagaya Chakshura Meditam Gena Tasmai Shigare Maha. So the Lord's, what we call the ontological position of the Lord, that is, his identity, is being described. And of course, this is all Sambandha Gyan. And this really destroys the impersonalist arguments against the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Against the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we've mentioned sometimes before, we can mention it again. There's two types of impersonalist Mayavadis. And one type believes in a philosophy called Parinamvad, the other type believes in a philosophy called Vivartavad. I hope everyone remembers those two things. Parinam, the word Parinam in Sanskrit, means transformation, and Vivarta basically means illusion, because we are in Vivarta, we are in illusion. Now, of course, we mentioned in the previous class that there's a nice illusion that pure devotees are in, like Jagannanda Pandit published a book named The prema vivarta, which means the illusion of prema. And under the influence of yogamaya potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure devotees are in illusion. They're forgetting that Krishna is God. Not only did they forget that Krishna is God, but they forget a particular pastime that they may have enacted the previous day, and they're enacting the same pastime today. That's interesting, isn't it? I'll give you a practical example of that from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's the story of Gopa Kumar, and he describes how in the spiritual world Krishna ostensibly appears to go to Mathura, to kill Kamsa. And all the residents of Vrindavan are completely upset with this. And Krishna disappears for some time. So there's even separation in the spiritual realm. And then, in this particular instance, because we're talking about the spiritual world, not the material world, Krishna comes back after killing Kamsa. Of course, there's no killing Kamsa in the spiritual world. We understand that. So Krishna comes back, and then when he comes back, everyone's happy to see him. Oh, and then after a while, they forget that he's gone. And then a few days later, or sometime in the future, the same pastime occurs. Of course, there's always variety, infinite variety in Krishna's pastimes. But it's not that the devotees are thinking, hey, been there, seen it, done it, as that saying goes. Because they're so much immersed in love. And so this is called the Yogamaya potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, a practical example of our devotion in this material world is that we are chanting the holy names every day. And hopefully we're not thinking, been there, seen it, done it, about chanting. Or the devotees are dressing the deities. I mean, sometimes they're dressing with the same exact outfits, the same jewelry. And of course they're trying to institute a little bit of variety, hopefully. Maybe a little different flowers or something like that. But it's ever fresh, devotional service. And the pujaris, hopefully the pujaris are not thinking, I dressed the deities in this outfit like 10 times before. Or let's take eating, for example. Let's say ordinary thing. Forget about devotional service. When one is absorbed in eating, let's say his favorite food, one is not thinking, you know, I ate the same food. Unless, you know, sometimes they are. But generally, when you're absorbed in eating, you're not thinking, you know, oh my God. When you actually put the food to your mouth, I mean, maybe before you put it to your mouth, you're thinking, oh my God, pizza again for dinner? So when you put it to your mouth, you start, the taste buds start, you know, activating. Then when you're enjoying, you don't really think, you know, hey, I remember when I ate this yesterday, the day before, because it's immersion in ras. That's the point. So even in this material world, of course, in the material world, it's not yogamaya, it's definitely mahamaya. There's some a replica or example by which we can understand what it means to forget because you're having such a good time. And that's a fact. When you're having a good time, you really forget that it happened again and again. So that's the Yogamaya, and the Prema Vivarta under Yogamaya is you're just like immersed in the ocean of nectarian devotional service. It's definitely like an ocean. It's just like described by Rupa Goswami, that there's sharks that swim in that ocean. So we should be like the sharks, not in terms of eating people, but because a shark is considered, I guess, the king of the ocean or something like that. Like the shark is actually swimming, enjoying life, and everybody else is afraid of a shark. So, except for the killer whale, the orcas or something like that. So we should be like that. We're just swimming in the nectarian ocean of devotional service. And that's actually Prema Vibharta. Prema Vibharta, under the influence of prema, one is experiencing not only the what we would consider to be positive emotions, you know, but it also there's intense agony too. And that, when one's in intense agony, also that causes one to forget things, be absorbed in the present moment. So that's the point. In the spiritual world, they're really be here now. Just like there was this one nonsense book published in the 1960s about be here now, just be in the moment. And of course, nowadays you have this type of meditation where you're supposed to just be in the moment. And of course, being in the moment in the material world is completely useless. So anyway, so that's called prema vivarta. So I'm just describing what vivarta means. And parinam, the word parinam means a transformation. Just like we are sitting on this chair. This chair is composed of wood. The wood previously came from a tree. It was cut down by some lumberjack or somebody with a chainsaw and then put through a mill and then shaped in different ways with different tools so it becomes a chair. So it's transformed. So matter is like that. Matter is transformed continually. You understand? Like from one thing to another. Actually, the Buddhists understood that. That the matter is in a continual state of transformation. Either through entropy falling apart or through some conscious interaction whereby it's built up into something. It's always changing. Matter is always changing. It never remains the same. Even, of course, Prabhupada gave the example of the material body. Every 7 years, at least most of the cells get replaced. Some of the nervous cells don't get replaced. So we just get reincarnating continually, you know, like it says in the Gita. That day, so there's continual change in this world, and we mentioned can't step into the same river twice. Anyway, so many examples in that regard. So that's called parinam. Everything, the material nature is always transforming into something else. Even the sun example here, even though the sun probably gives the example, the sun remains the same after such a long period of time, but ultimately, you know, the sun. Energy will run out and you'll need a new battery. No, anyway, the sun will run out. So everything's just like changing. Nothing is stable in this world. Nothing is real. Strawberry fields forever, as they would say. And of course, the Bhagavad Gita, that's from the Beatles, of course. The Bhagavad Gita says, Nasato vijite babo, nabo vijite sahava viyorapi drishto. Antas 20 tatvadar should be that the sages think, see that those things are temporary, are unreal. Unreal in the sense that they don't have any continual existence. They exist, but they exist as energy which continually gets transformed. And the scientists talk about how energy and matter are interchangeable, and there's a conservation of energy, a conservation of matter. So we've already described parinam and vivarta. Okay, so the impersonalists, they have impersonalists and maya bodies, there's a difference between the two, have two different philosophies. One philosophy is parinambad, the other one is vivartabad. So the vivartabad is the philosophy that the Supreme Personality of Godhead basically comes under illusion, and we're not just talking about Yogamaya. He comes under illusion, or the Supreme Absolute Truth comes under illusion and forgets it's the Supreme Absolute Truth. And we're the Supreme Absolute Truth. We're all God, in one sense. And Krishna consciousness, or not Krishna consciousness, but spiritual life means to remember that you're God, or come to the right consciousness. And therefore we perform different ceremonies like we're doing here in the temple, you know, worshiping a person, God, so that ultimately we can come to the point of understanding everything is ultimately absolute, we're all one. And so that's that's the vivartavada. That we're an illusion. But the problem with that particular philosophy is, and of course that's the philosophy of Sripad Shankaracharya, vivartavada. The problem with that philosophy, even in spite of writing so many books about it, is that what causes the Supreme Absolute Truth to be an illusion? There must be another force. And that force must be superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to the Supreme Absolute Truth. And therefore, the Supreme Absolute Truth is not the Supreme Absolute Truth, that illusion is actually higher. So that's the problem with Vivarta. And as far as Parinam, which Prabhupada makes reference to here, the Parinam Bhava, although he doesn't say that in so many words, Parinam Bhava means that the Supreme Absolute Truth becomes transformed by manifesting this material world. The Supreme Lord, or Supreme Absolute Truth, forget, and that's what's mentioned, Supreme Lord. Supreme Absolute Truth gets transformed into the material world, or loses something. That's called Parinambha. So, we don't accept that either, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described by Prabhupada in this verse and also in the Vedic literatures, is Om Purnamada Purnamida. He's perfect and complete, and many complete units emanate from him, and they all remain the complete whole. So we don't ascribe to Parinambad or Vivartavad in reference to the Supreme Absolute Truth. What we do subscribe to is something called Shakti Parinambad. Shakti Parinambad means that the Supreme Lord Parashu Shakti Vrindadaiva Shruyate, this verse I quoted from yesterday, Parasha Shaktir, that the Supreme Lord has a Shakti, Vividaiva, and then it becomes, let's say, divided or transformed into different varieties, Valakriya Cha, material variety, spiritual variety, Jiva soul. So the Shakti of the Lord becomes transformed. As we see in the material world, the Shakti, or this material Shakti, is transformed, and the spiritual Shakti manifests different ingredients in the spiritual world. So the Shaktis are what undergo transformation or change, whereas the Supreme Lord doesn't undergo transformations or changes. So that's the first point of this particular verse and purport. That he is the cause of all causes, or as Prabhupada quotes from the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadhyasya-yataha. And of course, that's also contained in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Absolute Truth is from he is from whom everything comes. And that, of course, is Krishna. And then at the same time, we find a statement in the Brahma Samhita, Galoke evinidashati akilatma bhuta. Even though the Supreme Personality of God is everywhere by his energies and also by his expansions, he never leaves the Loka Vrindavan. And an example, a material example of that, of someone who is in a very powerful position so he doesn't have to work, was given by Srila Prabhupada when he was driving from the airport with Ambarish Guru, our godbrother. Ambarish, of course, is the great-grandson of Henry Ford. His name is Alfred Ford. And he was on the board of the Ford Motor Company, which is a famous company. Actually, he was describing that Henry Ford was a transcendentalist and believed in reincarnation, which is quite interesting. Anyway, so he was driving the car for Prabhupada, which is interesting. And he was driving a Ford car, not a Volkswagen. So he was driving the Ford car from the airport, and they passed the Ford Motor Company. And one of the devotees in the car asked Ambarish, so you work there? And Prabhupada said, no, he's the proprietor. So he doesn't have to work. He can enjoy life. So anyway, I mean, whether he works there or not is another question. But the point that Prabhupada was making is that if someone is the proprietor and owns everything, controls everything, especially Krishna, then he doesn't have to work. As the example Prabhupada gave of the, and you've all heard this example before, when the English gentleman walked into the Hindu center, he understood after seeing all the different deities that Krishna was God, because Krishna was the only deity that wasn't working. All the other deities were meditating, writing something down, or whatever. And Durga was especially having a good time torturing all the living entities, sitting on her tigress with her trident, the Adiyatmik Adibodhi, and Deity Died of Miseries. But Krishna was just there with his girlfriend. So someone who's always playing his flute with his girlfriend must be God. Whereas someone who is working is definitely not God. Of course, Krishna, when he expands, he appears to be like he goes to the Sudharma assembly house, he destroys the demons and everything like that. But in his original form, there's no work. It's only play in Vrindavan. It's only play. You may say Krishna's working by taking care of the calves, but he's actually playing when he's doing that. So anyway, so Goloka Nivrishati Akilatma Bhuta. In spite of being everywhere through his energies and through his expansions, Krishna never leaves Goloka Vrindavan. And that's amazing. And everything is happening just by Saikshita Abhikana. Simply by his will, everything is happening. In other words, everything is on automatic. It's just like if someone was taking advantage of the utmost in modern technology and had a robot to clean his house. And just like you have nowadays, of course, this is actually a perverted reflection, they have these digital assistants, like Alexa. You heard of these things before? No one's heard of these. You're all Maya. So, like Amazon, Alexa, everything like that. You have these little boxes you place in your home that are connected to the internet. And you just talk to them and say, I would like a pizza delivered.
Oh my God.
And that's what they do. Where's the nearest Hare Krishna temple? I mean, you have a basic thing on your phone for these things, like Siri and everything like that, if you have an iPhone. And you say, where's the Hare Krishna temple? So you have like a perverted reflection of that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead's position in this world, where you can just like lay back in your easy chair. Turn on the lights, Alexa. I would bring some pizza, Alexa. And so, this is happening. Of course, that means in the material world, people are just becoming damn lazy. So they can just like sit in their easy chair and just turn on the film, Alexa. And show me a virtual reality of the Hare Krishna temple so I don't have to go to the temple today. It's like one time I contacted a friend who lived in Los Angeles, and it was 7:30 in the morning, and I called him and he was attending Mangal Arti in bed because they had him on the TV. So like this, like we have the internet connection here, and people are able to watch on my 4 TV, so it's a good excuse for not coming to the temple. Or, Facebook. I was in class the other day. But they were probably in bed while they were watching class. So Krishna, not exactly he's in bed while he's doing this. But Krishna's just enjoying life, and he's just like wishing something to happen. It's even better than Alexa. Of course, everyone's going to look up these things on the internet later on. I put everyone in Maya. It's even better than that. He doesn't even have to ask anyone to do anything, because all of his energies are first-class servants. So he's there in the spiritual world. And doesn't even have to think about it, because they know it. What to speak of asking. Doesn't even have to think about it. Because the energies are first-class servants, they know his desires. It's just like if I, as a guru, ever had a first-class servant, then I wouldn't have to tell people or think about it. It would just be there. It's not like that. You don't have to call on the phone. Hey, where's the boga? Like that. But Krishna, it's amazing. Doesn't even have to think about the material world. What to speak of asking Maya to do something. It just happens because it's Krishna's desire. Wow. That's aptakama. Aptakama means his kama, his desire. Kama doesn't necessarily mean lust. His kama's desire is automatically fulfilled. It's even better than Aladdin's lamp, where the genie has to be told what to do. Right? And then even thinking, just wow. Everything's just going on so nicely. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be in that position that everything happened nicely, you don't even have to think about it? Just make you lazy. Of course, Krishna doesn't become lazy. So he's enjoying like that in the spiritual world. And that's the amazing thing. Not only does he not get transformed, not only does he not have to work, not only does he not have to talk about it or think about it, it just happens by his desire. And that's complete swarup. That's complete independence. Wow. What a nice God we have. It's not like, I mean, the Christian world, of course, that's probably Lord Brahma that they're describing. That out of the seventh day, God got a little exhausted. He had to take a vacation. Right? Don't you have that? On the seventh day, he said, whew, this is too much. This material world. He's like, you know, come on. Come on. And then probably gets 2 weeks off a year, too. Besides Sunday. Gets off for Christmas, New Year's, and probably Easter, too. So, no. Krishna's always resting. He's always playing. Isn't that amazing? I mean, because Lord Brahma, yes, he needs rest. Yeah, he takes a nap sometimes in the middle of the day. There's a little devastation. Did you know that? Sometimes in the middle of the day, Lord Brahma feels... And if he yawns, sometimes a demon comes out of his mouth. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? It's like I was watching Chaitanya do Archie this morning. She was yawning. That's her standing when she's doing Archie. But fortunately, a demon doesn't come out of her mouth when she's yawning. But when Lord Brahma yawns, a demon sometimes comes out of his mouth. And Lord Brahma takes a little nap, and he has a night. He has to go through a night. But Krishna's up all night playing. He pretends to go to sleep. Just so Mother Yashoda will think everything's all right. As soon as Mother Yashoda leaves the room, he just heads for the hills with Radharani. And then he comes back in the morning. So there's no rest. But he doesn't need the rest. It's all play. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. The Supreme Person. And then this whole material world, everything is happening automatically. You know, computer controlled, you know, artificial intelligence, not artificial intelligence. It's all happening. Krishna is such an amazing person. That's the real understanding. Excuse me. That's the real understanding of God. That he's enjoyer. The enjoyer. And as far as judging the living entities when they die, he lets Yamaraj do that. He doesn't need to sit on a throne and say that, you know, so-and-so, Dira, you were naughty. You were naughty. You didn't listen to your wife. So therefore, you know, you get this amount of punishment. He doesn't need to do that. I mean, he's the witness, you know, the super soul. And that, he's giving the information as his expansion, not as Kalika Vrindavan, not as Nandanandana. He's giving the information to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj is doing all the judging. So it's interesting, you know, the nature of God is he's so independent, and the original personality of God, and he's just enjoying it. And so many things come from him, and he doesn't even notice it, basically. He knows about it, but it's just like, you know, let me have a good time here. He forgets that he's God. And that wouldn't that be nice to forget, just to enjoy all the time, and forget all your responsibilities? This is running a marathon all the time. And winning. Coming out number one. And forget that you had a wife. Forget that she wants this. Forget that you have to do anything. Just enjoying running the marathon. Never getting tired. Never getting tired when you're running the marathon. Running a half-minute mile. So, on that happy note, that's gone. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, you jai. Radha Golokananda ki jai. Jai Radha Golokananda.